Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome in. It's Prep Rally. It's me, Brad. Dalton over there. Hey, Dalton. What's up?
Not much. I'm here.
It's still football season, isn't it?
It is. And we're at the point now to where this week, week 10, we're getting close to the end to where everybody's about to start wrapping up division championships. I think this will be the first week where people start claiming division championships.
Pretty much. And trying to secure playoff spots and all that kind of stuff. A lot of important games, Dalton.
Mm-hmm. This is the exciting week.
Yes, it is. And we're here to break it down. We're going to talk about some key games coming up this week. We'll look back also at some of last week's key results. Got a little bit of basketball to talk about. Going to have athletes of the week, as we always do. Before we get going, I want to remind you that this podcast comes to you every Wednesday. You can find it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. And please give us a follow on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Week 9, Dalton. There were a lot of good games in Week 9, were there not?
There were.
Let's start with the game you were at. Not so good for Tupelo. Golden Wave losing to South Panola 21-7. South Panola, Dalton, they're kind of down compared to the last couple of years compared to what they've been. But they still, A, are South Panola, and B, have Ricky Woods as head coach, in his second year back, his second stint over in Batesville. Janari Dean had 285 yards and three touchdowns rushing for the Tigers. What'd you see there, Dalton?
Well, South Panola really struggled to throw the ball. And they tried to in the first half, and they just couldn't really get anything going. And so once they started running, and Dean started picking up a few yards per carry, and then I think the very last play of the half, I think he had like a 60-yard run that was saved by a Bryant Morgan tackle. And then I'm not sure they threw the ball one time in the second half.
I mean, that's kind of like, that's South Panola of old. They really never have been a team that throws the ball a lot most years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, running backs that can just eat up yardage.
Yeah, they came in there, and Coach Trent Hammond told me for Tupelo that they're going to be undersized. They've been pretty undersized in almost every game they've played this year, and
right.
he was expecting that. And then they came out there, and they just beat the Tupelo defense over and over and over again. There was just one, they're already undersized, and then two, there's 11, 12, 13, 14 play drives. It's just nothing but run plays just straight down the middle. And,
Yeah.
They got wore out, kind of attacked that Achilles heel of the Tupelo defense. And,
There you go. And Tupelo still without quarterback Stephon McGlon, of course, injured himself in the season opener. Thought he might be back by now, Dalton, but I don't know. What's the situation there?
It was a 4 to 6 week injury from what we were told. This is now the 9th week.
Yep.
I think he's back throwing around. I'm not sure if he's full pads practicing, but I think he's back throwing around. And, he's walking, he's
right.
running, he's throwing around and on the sidelines during the games and stuff. And so I don't know. I think maybe this week, maybe next week. I think probably next week's more realistic.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not sure what percent he's going to be at when he gets back anyway. I don't know if he's going to be – I doubt he's going to be 100%. He just broke his ankle,
Right, right.
A month and a half, 2 months ago.
Yeah, and Tupelo with, three games left in the regular season?
Yep.
Right, and where do they stand as far as the division and, trying to get a good playoff berth there?
Well, they're 3-1 right now in division. Horn Lake is 4-0. It looks like Horn Lake is going to run through everybody, going to go undefeated in that division. The Tupelo the last 2 years, it looks like – you got Tupelo and Oxford that are both 3-1 fighting for that home spot. Really, it's going to, Horn Lake just defeated Tupelo, defeated Oxford last week. So Oxford's got one loss. Tupelo still has to play Horn Lake and Oxford. So
Tupelo still has a chance to win this thing.
Yeah, they still do. They have a chance to win it. And they end up beating Horn Lake, which Oxford played Horn Lake really close. They get Stephon back. You never know what can happen next week.
Exactly, exactly.
But I mean, they're still fighting for that home spot. They're still very much in a fight to where they could win the division. But I feel like they're still very much in a fight to where they could end up with a 4 seed.
Yeah, they could, because South Panola's 2-2, and obviously have the tiebreaker. So if South Panola and Tupelo both end up with 2 losses, then mm-hmm. Or whatever, then there's a possibility they could drop to a 4. So That's the life in 6A. We saw that in Division II 6A last year. Remember, Warren Central was a 4 seed, came up to Tupelo and won in the first round of the playoffs.
They were like a 2 seed until the last week of the
playoffs. Yeah, they could have been a 1 or 2 seed. So 6A is tough, man. So Tupelo with a loss will try to bounce back up. Boonville and North Pontotoc, let's talk about that game, Dalton. That was a humdinger, as they say. A big 1-3A showdown. Boonville remains undefeated, 8-0 now, with a 37-32 win. A big game, Dalton, by Cameron Young, the senior cornerback, had 3 interceptions, and he got the scoring started with an 84-yard pick six off Corley Hooper. And I actually had a story on Cameron in Wednesday's Journal. Second-year starter, and he's got now 5 interceptions on the season, leads the team. And that secondary, Dalton, I mean, besides him, you got Dallas Gamble, who, by the way, had 183 yards and 3 touchdowns rushing, but he's a good cornerback. You got Davian Price. You've got the L.J. Shumpert kid, a freshman who's looking promising. They got linebackers that can cover the pass, too, Armani Grizzard and Tay Crump. A couple of linebackers that can defend those underneath passes. Oh, also Seth Tennyson, a defensive back as well. Plays well for Boonville. They're giving up just like 99 passing yards a game. And this defense, I mean, as good as they are on offense with Dallas Gamble, this defense is really kind of what makes this team tick.
Yeah, and I said that, I think, in my capsule or whenever it was last week. It might have been my preview. I'm not sure. I said that this was going to be a defensive game. Both these defenses are only averaging or allowing like 10 points a game. Kind of overshadowed by the scoring outburst there at the end. And I think there was like 5 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Right,
of the game.
Right, exactly.
And it ended up being 37-32. But, you know, Boonville's defense, 4 interceptions off of a good quarterback in Corley Hooper. And so, I mean, still there was glimpses of those good defenses in the game.
Yeah, I mean, Hooper, he threw for 252 yards. That was a season high. I think he had 23 pass attempts, which was a season high. And really that was the plan. Coach Mike Maddox of Boonville said going in they were going to try to make North Pontotoc beat them with the pass, make them throw the ball a lot. And they did. And, you know, obviously Hooper had some success there, but he also threw 4 picks. Mm-hmm. So in the end, that strategy really paid off for Boonville. So, again, a big win there for the Blue Devils as they remain undefeated in control in Division 1-3A. Aberdeen beat Hatley in a barn burner. Man, 46-45. That'd have been fun to watch.
It would. It would have been fun to keep up with the scoring.
that was a 4-3A matchup. Fred Fields, the quarterback for Aberdeen, one of the best playmakers in the area. He had 433 total yards, 6 total touchdowns. More on his stats later. And he had the game-winning TD and two-point conversion with, I think it was under 30 seconds left. They scored the touchdown, decided to go for 2. Fields got it, and that led Aberdeen to a 46-45 win. This Aberdeen team, Dalton, kind of tough for me to figure out sometimes. I mean, some weeks they look just dynamite, and other weeks you're like, what, you know, can't kind of scratch your head about what's going on. I mean, they've got, that's a good win. Hatley's a pretty good team there that Aberdeen beat, but then, you know, look at some of the losses they've got. They lost to Itawamba, which is a good team, but 27-8. The offense couldn't get anything going. Lost to Choctaw County, 26-18. There's been games where their offense has kind of gone in the tank a little bit. And, again, this is against good competition, but but it is the kind of team that has to scare you, especially if you get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and especially just honestly because of Fred Fields, for me.
Yeah.
Fred Fields is so good, you know, coming into the season. We had him as a, you know, all-area player. I think he was all-area player maybe last year
He was.
And we knew coming into the season he was going to be good, and, you know, he kind of slumped off towards the beginning of the year. They played some good competition, like you said, and he's finally starting to find that rhythm, it looks like, and it's coming at the right time with division play because looking in that division, you know, they got 5 really good teams in that division with Houston, Choctaw County, Aberdeen, Hatley, and South Pontotoc.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nettleton might already, you know, cut themselves out of the playoffs. I think that they already made it to where they can't make the playoffs anymore. But,
right.
You know, you got to think, I think Houston and Choctaw County are 1-2, and somebody right there, Aberdeen, South Pontotoc, or Hatley, is going to miss the playoffs.
Right. And Houston has already beaten Choctaw County earlier this year, so I think they can and they can wrap up the division with a win, be the first division title in 20 years, Dalton.
Houston's shooting for that this week.
Yeah, so that's a big game for them. And one other thing I want to talk about, this actually happened 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. but we didn't have a show last week. South Pontotoc and Nettleton mixed it up on the field.
Yeah.
Extracurriculars. They had to call the game early, didn't they, Dalton?
Yeah, they called it at the end of the third quarter. I don't know all the details, you know, because I only heard one side of it.
Right.
But, apparently there was, you know, some scuffles and some extra late hits and stuff like that. And, you know, Michael Bradley over at South Bond Talk, I initially called him because I was told a bunch of his players were going to be out last week.
Right.
So I called him and, you know, he shut that down real quick, said that none of his players got ejected from the game. And then he was, you know, I don't think he was trying to badmouth Nettleton and King Tops and stuff. I think he was just trying to explain his side of the story and explain what happened. But he said Nettleton had about 11, you know, personal fouls in the third quarter there, and
jeez.
He said they didn't have any, which I mean I'm sure they had a couple, one or two, something. I mean,
sure,
one team has 11 personal fouls. There's no way that the other team didn't react or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said the game got called, a player got pushed out of bounds, and then
a fracas.
Yeah,
however you say it.
A bunch of stuff happened on the sideline, and the referees got tired of it, called the game right there. And
well, good
it was
for the refs.
The game was already over.
Yeah, it's 48-6 was the final. South Pontotoc won, and I don't know, you know, what causes that. I mean, teenage boys are sometimes teenage boys. Mm-hmm. And Nettleton, you know, after a good start to the season, that was their third consecutive loss. They've now lost four in a row. Could be some frustration taking hold there. But anyway, just hopefully everybody can move on from that and continue to and maybe practice a little better sportsmanship all around. So that's your week 9 rewind. Your week 10 look ahead. Got some Thursday games, Dalton. East Union at Baldwin for the 1-2A title. Baldwin has won 5 consecutive division titles and has defeated East Union all 5 times they faced off.
Yeah, East Union has never beat Baldwin, and I don't think
not even come close. I think the average score is like 54-7.
And if there's a year to do it, this is the year to do it. East Union is playing really well.
They are, and Baldwin started off 0-6, 3-0 in division, which is not surprising. That's what they do. But I don't know. 1-2-A doesn't seem particularly strong this year. And Baldwin, I mean, they're without Corion Doss. Have been without him for a while, one of their best players on both sides of the ball. Of course, East Union's got Joel Wilkinson, the running back, that can rack up the yards and plays good defense as well at linebacker. So this might be, I think East Union has a really good shot to break through here.
Well, I'm interested to see which East Union offense lines up. I did a story on them last week because, you know, they started off the season running the Veer, and then all of a sudden they're like, you know what, let's run a 4-wide spread now. And so they just switched. And, you know, Coach Kevin Walton over there told me they were going to keep switching back and forth to whatever works that game, I guess. And
sure,
I'm interested to see which one is going to show up, if Baldwin's going to have to face the spread or the Veer. That's two very different things you have to prepare for on the defense.
Exactly. That game now, that was originally scheduled for a Thursday game. Now, we've had some games moved from Friday to Thursday because it's supposed to rain around here Friday night. In fact, I just checked the weather app. 100% chance of rain, at least in Tupelo, and really in a lot of places north of here. South of here, I don't know. You were saying that in Houston, it's like a 10-20% chance of rain.
Yeah, I was looking at Houston.
So, I don't know.
Harden earlier, and it's 20% chance that night. It's not bad.
So, yeah, so and that's where you'll be Friday night, because you're going up to DeSoto Central to watch Tupelo Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And a handful of other games, but really that one and the East Union Baldwin are probably so far the two best matchups. Now, as we record this, there could be more games moved. We don't know, so you just have to right now, just check djournal.com for updates on any schedule changes. A couple of big games in 1-1A, Dalton. Oklahoma at Biggersville and Smithville at TCPS. Biggersville is 5-0 in Division 1-1A, Smithville 6-0, so both of those teams trying to remain atop the standings. But, you know, Oklahoma, the defending division champ, has just one loss, which came to Smithville, so Oklahoma can get right back in the mix here with a win at Biggersville. And Smithville again at TCPS, which is looking to make the playoffs for the second consecutive year. Made it for the first time in school history last year, and they've played. I mean, TCPS plays everybody pretty tough, Dalton.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what looking at this looks like the best week for 1-1A, because I think honestly these four teams are probably going to be the four that make the playoffs right there.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
I would assume.
Yeah,
and you know, Oklahoma Biggersville is going to be really good, I think.
Yeah, you got two teams with big time playmakers. Quaymon Davis has scored 24 touchdowns on offense. He's got 5 on special teams, 1 or 2 on defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's just an insanely good player for Biggersville. And they've got some other guys, too. But then you got Oklahoma with Jacorius Stanfield leading the way. And so you got two teams with big playmakers, speed, Dalton. You're going to see a lot of speed on the field, aren't you?
Yeah, so it's just – These are the two fastest teams probably in 1A in our area.
Right.
I mean, outside of maybe Simmons and, you know, a couple of those teams down south. Or
yeah,
whatever,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just going to be nothing but speed. That's what every coach I've talked to about Oklahoma just is, you know, their speed. And then I talked to Stan Platt earlier this week, he mentioned on their speed, but they've got speed of their own.
Yeah, so. Biggersville's got some guys like I said, Quaymon Davis, Quan Mays, the quarterback, Quentin Knight, having a good year too. So, yeah, that should be a fun one. And as I mentioned, Smithville at TCPS, a couple of dual threat quarterbacks on the field, both first-year starters, Octavian Miller for Smithville, Kai Holiday for TCPS, a converted wide receiver. That's a game like Biggersville, Oklahoma, could see a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, with those two guys, Miller and Holiday, they've been putting up some, especially Holiday, man. He's that guy that'll could bust a big play with his legs or his arm.
Yeah, it seems like every Friday night we're in here doing our stars of the night and everything. It's like, oh, Kai Holiday had another 6-touchdown night or another 4-touchdown night. And,
right. And these teams are very similar, too. In fact, the coaches, Sean Holiday at TCPS and Michael Campbell at Smithville, they both said, you know, we're both so similar just in their offensive schemes, their defensive schemes, and their personnel. Example, Exhibit A, the quarterbacks. And so this is, a game that both teams feel like they'll be well prepared for because what they see in practice is pretty much what they're going to see from the other team. So that could be a fun one there, Smithville at TCPS on a Friday night. Sean Holiday, by the way, he said he is not moving that game to Thursday. It'll be a monsoon they're going to play.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting what they're doing. The two teams are having a little friendly competition. I don't know if you saw that on Twitter or not.
No.
I think they're raising money for
Make-A-Wish.
Make-A-Wish, yeah. And who they're going to announce at halftime which team or which school raised the most. I think that's pretty cool.
It is cool. And you know what? Actually, this has become – Smithville and TCPS has become a pretty good rivalry, and not just in football. Like in baseball, you know, this past year, Smithville beat TCPS. I think it was a 3-game – I think it went the full 3 games. It was in the 1A quarterfinals, maybe, or semifinals.
It was quarterfinals, yeah. Smithville no hit TCPS in game 3.
Yeah, that's right. So, they play each other pretty tough in most sports. So, a fun little rival game that's developed there. And one more game to look at, Itawamba AHS at Pontotoc. Big game there in Division 2-4A, Dalton. Pontotoc. Messed around and almost lost at Caledonia last week, Dalton. Let's, you know, if you haven't been paying attention, Caledonia has not been good the past few years. And they're not great this year. I mean, they're 3-5, I think.
I think they're improving.
I think so.
But I think that was a trap game right there for Pontotoc, going down there and playing that, because that's what it seems like anyway. They almost lost it. So.
Yeah, someone I talked to said Pontotoc got a little bit overconfident. Maybe didn't take them quite seriously enough, but escaped with the 28-27 win in overtime. So going to have to bring their A game against an Itawamba team that has, an almost fully healthy Ike Chandler at running back. You know, he had the, an ankle injury?
It was. And
for a few weeks, but he seems to be doing just fine. I think he had over 200 yards last week.
Yeah, he had a couple, three or four games there where he didn't even get 10 touches a game because he was just hurting. And then, you know, now he's back up to 20. He wasn't close to where he was at the beginning of the year where he was getting 30 touches a game, but he's getting back up there.
Yeah, so that's the game I plan to be at. So that's your Week 10 look ahead. Look for our coverage in Friday and Saturday's Daily Journal and at djournal.com. Games Thursday and Friday there. Let's talk a little bit of basketball, Dalton. Practice started this week. Official preseason practices. I mean, these teams are always kind of working on something, whether it's over the summer or, you know, during athletic period during the year. But now that, you know, they got your after-school practices, officially it's preseason time. And the season starts November 1st. That's when you can start playing. And by the way, you know, a few weeks ago we reported about the state tournament changing its format, moving the quarterfinal round back to campus sites. So only the semifinals and finals we played in Jackson at the Mississippi Coliseum. That shortens things up a little bit, tightens the schedule. So they've set the dates for that, March 4th through the 9th. Like this past year, it was March 1st through the 10th. Mm-hmm. So you're down there a week and a half. 6 days in Jackson. I can handle only 6 days in Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, I won't complain.
I can handle 0 days in Jackson, you know what I'm saying? No. It's always a fun time down there, but it's going to be a little bit more of a compact schedule. I'm going to have something here in the next few days on Pine Grove's girls. Had a good talk with Coach Katie Bates this week. Of course, they've won 2 consecutive state titles in Class 1A. Now, they've lost some key players from last year, most notably Haley Vick. She was a second-team all-area pick. Led the team in scoring, actually tied for the team lead in scoring with Lauren Elliott, who was also an all-area pick, and is back. So you got her, you got Carly Rogers, you got Taylor Fletcher. Now, all three of those girls can score. I think Fletcher and Rogers averaged right at 9 or 10 points a game each.
Carly Rogers, if I remember, had the really, really big game in the state championship game.
She did.
She had like, what, 20 rebounds or something?
Yeah. It was I remember if it was the championship, or but it was one of those games down in Jackson. Yeah, she had a big game. And the theme that Katie Bates has been harping on is people kind of adjusting or changing their roles, because you've lost Haley Vick, for one thing. They've lost a point guard, Lexi Elliott. So they're going to have some they got four or five different candidates for that position, including Lauren Elliott, Lexi's younger sister. She's going to be a junior, but has been a very good player for Pine Grove. And then Taylor Fletcher, she's a really good three-point shooter, 44% from behind the arc last year, but she can also take you off the dribble.
Not bad for a high schooler.
Right, I know. And then Carly Rogers, mainly an inside presence, but Katie said that Carly has kind of extended her shooting range a bit. I don't know if she's going to be a three-point shooter. In fact, I looked at stats. I don't think she attempted one last year. Maybe one or two. She didn't make any. So, but they're going to have some other people step up. People that have played, like Jessie Mooney. You know, she was mainly a rebounder and defensive player last year, not known for scoring. Bella Jumper, who toward the end of the season showed she could get some points when Pine Grove needed her to. So those are a couple of players that are going to have to kind of expand their roles offensively. And then you've got players like Brianna Baggett coming back from an ACL injury from the end of the season. She could be the point guard as well. Got some options there. So, you know, Katie Bates always kind of sandbags a little bit beginning of the season, like, well, I don't know if we're going to reap three-peat or anything. But
they lose two games or whatever.
Yeah, they're the class of 1A until somebody knocks them off, in my opinion. So I think they'll be really good again this year. So look for that story in the coming days in your daily journal. Athletes of the Week, Dalton, let's wrap it up. Do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their exploits on the field of play from the past week. Female Athlete of the Week, Ashley Stevens, Amory Softball. Last week in a playoff series win against Tishomingo County, I believe that was the quarterfinals, Ashley was 9-14 at the plate in the three games, had 2 3-run home runs and 12 RBIs in all. So, Amory had like 4 or 5 players that had numbers like that in that series. They tore it up there in the win over Tisch County. Male Athlete of the Week, we mentioned him earlier, Fred Fields, the Aberdeen quarterback, in that win against Hatley, 46-45. He was 15 of 19 passing, 205 yards and 1 touchdown on the ground, 21 carries, 228 yards, 5 touchdowns, and as I mentioned, scored the game-winning TD and 2-point conversion in the 46-45 win over Hatley. So congrats to Ashley and Fred, and that's it for this episode of Prep Rally, coming to you every Wednesday. You can find it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream it at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there.
D.L. Middleton 8.
Ah, fooled you. Usually I say it. At D.L. Middleton 8. I'm at Brad Locke. And that's it. We'll be back next week, Dalton. Everybody try to stay dry if you go out to football this week. We'll see you next time.